Okay, so we're talking about it all this week. South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. It's a music festival, it's a film festival, and it's a hotbed for technology and social media. In fact, South by Southwest is where the microblogging tool Twitter started to get a lot of traction. Now, if you listen to our show regularly, you know that we're a Twittering kind of bunch. We've got our own Twitter feed at twitter.com/BPP. And South By, that's what the cool kids call it, holds a whole interactive conference that's helped the Twitter phenomenon come into its own. At least that's how NPR senior strategist for online communications sees it. Andy Carvin, a.k.a. A. Carvin, that's what his Twitter handle says, joins us now from Austin via that old school technology, the telephone. Andy!
Good morning.
How
are
you doing?
Well, indeed.
Is it a rotary phone or is it at least...
I wish it were. That would certainly make it fun.
Hey, Andy, what does a Twitter universe look like down there these days?
You know, it's funny that you ask because I was in a session yesterday with a technology guru, Guy Kawasaki, and there were probably, I don't know, 300-500 people in the audience, and he asked, out of curiosity, how many of you are on Twitter? And easily three-quarters of the audience raised their hand. It was quite extraordinary. Wow. In fact, at least one of the panelists on stage crossed out her name on the placard and put her Twitter handle instead because that's what people knew her as. It's been amazing because last year Twitter was it was the coming out party for Twitter, and this year it's basically the maturation of Twitter. It's the place where people are using Twitter in a very mundane day to day way, and we're not even really thinking about the fact that it was the new kid on the block last year.
Okay, so we're Twitter savvy here at the BPP. You clearly are, but there might be people out there who don't know what the heck we're talking about.
Sure,
give us the basics.
We should step back for a second here. Twitter is basically a platform for communicating with other people through different technologies. So let's take text messaging and cell phones. Normally, if you send a text message, you send it to just one person at a time. If you're a member of Twitter, you can send a text message to the Twitter system, and it will automatically distribute it to a group of friends who can either receive it through text messaging or instant messaging or over the web or through a bunch of other applications as well. And meanwhile, as a user, you can use those various platforms to also send messages. So when I'm at the office or I'm at home and I've got my laptop in front of me, I'm using a computer to communicate through Twitter, but then when I'm on the road, I'll pull up my phone and use that instead.
It's like online grown-up note sending. Passing.
Yeah, it's a conversation
passing.
You keep in your pocket, but it very much is online note sending, especially when you go to conferences like South by Southwest. And when a session doesn't go very well, people will start passing notes back and forth, and you'll have these criticisms flying all over the place. And it can sometimes become quite a firestorm.
Hey, welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're continuing our conversation with NPR's Andy Carvin. He is NPR's senior strategist for online communities. He's down in Austin, Texas, enjoying the music festival. But did you know it's also this hotbed of technology? All kinds of people down there are using something called Twitter.com. We use it here at the BPP. It's like an online message board, and it allows people, it's like a micro blogging kind of technology.
And I'm going to go on right now.
Allison's going to log on. And it was at the center of this brouhaha at the conference this year. I'm going to set the stage a little bit. It involved a keynote session, an onstage interview, packed house observing us with CEO Mark Zuckerberg, and a disgruntled crowd and Twitter. Here's a little bit of an exchange between Zuckerberg and Sarah Lacey, who was conducting the interview. She's talking, and he says, wait a second, you have to ask a question. And then listen to how the audience responds. Let's listen.
Sure, yeah.
Lovely small moment. the point...
You have to ask a question.
So again, this was Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg on stage with journalist Sarah Lacey, and the crowd was getting really miffed because apparently she wasn't asking provocative enough questions, and then Zuckerberg actually stepped in and provoked her to ask some real questions. Andy, what happened though with Twitter? How did Twitter come into play?
It was really the strangest thing. I'd never seen anything like it before at a conference. When when Lacey started asking questions, the tone was immediately set. The tenor was rather flirtatious, not particularly conversational. She was stepping all over his words and spent a surprising amount of time talking about herself rather than directing questions to him. And so people in the audience began to grumble with their neighbors, but as they were doing that, they also started to Twitter as well. So you'd see messages flying back and forth on your phone, things like, what exactly is she trying to do here? Or is she asking him out on a date? Some of the messages that went back and forth were a bit more sexually provocative, which caused even more hostile messages to fly. And so as the interview went on, you had this back-channel conversation taking place in the back of the classroom, as it were, and it started to get really ugly. And by the time she opened it up for questions, the audience just let loose on her and made it very clear that they were not happy at all with the way that she had conducted the interview. And, of course, she got upset by that, which caused the audience to get even more hostile because they didn't feel like she was handling it professionally, and it just spiraled out of control.
What do we learn from this, Andy? On one, just really quickly, on one hand, we can say, oh, this is a grassroots empowering kind of tool that allows the audience to kind of take control. On the other hand, you can say this is like mob mentality, a tool that actually provokes this kind of groupthink that can be really kind of frightening.
I think there was a bit of groupthink taking place, and, you know, to be honest, I was participating in some of it because I was there using Twitter, complaining like other people. And after a while, it did seem that if you weren't complaining, then either you weren't paying attention or you weren't in the rooms. But there was a lot to complain about, to be completely blunt here. She did not do a very good job as far as I'm concerned. But because we had the ability to complain in real time, it began to go viral in the same way that a video goes viral over a period of hours, days, or weeks. The criticism towards her was going viral literally in a matter of seconds and minutes. Huh. It was quite extraordinary to watch.
Well, thank you so much for breaking it down for us. NPR Senior Strategist for Online Communities, Andy Carvin. He's on the line from South by Southwest Interactive in Austin. You can follow Andy at twitter.com/Carvin.
A Carvin.
Sorry.
A is important.
A Carvin. Follow us. You can follow us at the BPP at twitter.com/BPP. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks for having me.